Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, D.A., I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, D.A., what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
D.A., what's the silly? Oh, permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, D.A.? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My co-worker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, yeah, we're going to have a good day, and we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Well, guess what? Rocket can. A happy Wednesday to you all. It is the DA Show. DA off, aiding his voice back to health. After that Boise trip where he's lost his voice, trying to get himself back in order here. It's me. It's Andrew Bogish. It's the DA Show on this Wednesday. Bogish, hello. How are you? Good morning again. Fine, sir.
Hey, same to you, Sean. I just checked in with Danielle. She's feeling okay. Nothing to report just yet, so you can stay there. I think you're eating pie, so just keep relaxing.
I am.
And everything's fine.
I'm having a little apple pie here. I'm having a little, we got a little farm fresh apple pie over the weekend.
Nothing says breakfast like fresh apple pie.
7:01 a.m. Eastern.
It's fruit.
Hey, should we tell him that he's got some like whipped cream on his mustache or let that stay there?
Do I? Oh. All right, sorry. Oh, it's a big deal. I had whipped cream on my mustache. I mean, everybody relax.
A pig.
Who was not relaxed? Twitch loved it.
It aired. I don't see. Did it air? He aired me eating the pie.
I'm sure it did. Why wouldn't you? The camera's on. Why wouldn't he air it? Why wouldn't Cap?
Because I don't see. And if he didn't, now that I'm looking at, I don't see where our stream is. Did he? Cap wouldn't pull a fast one on me.
Well, if he didn't play it live, it will certainly be on the internet ASAP. So one way or the other, we're gonna see all that going down.
All right, whatever. All that talk about Cheesecake Factory got hot and bothered, and I knew I had pie upstairs. So, and when I had some pie. The first guy ever to have apple pie for breakfast? Give me a break.
I like how you're surprised by this. That this has happened on numerous occasions.
Yeah, I haven't worked from home in a while, so no, it has not happened on numerous occasions. And a big, so I had a smoothie upstairs. I'm going to get to that. I had a little pie. We were talking about Cheesecake Factory. I can be honest with you. I was getting horned up for it. So I went upstairs and I had a little pie. It's
You're
erotica.
So defensive. No one's yelling at you or judging you or anything. We were nice and letting you know that you had whipped cream on your face so you didn't do an entire segment or long of a radio show with your mustache all white and gooey.
I am. Right. You're gross.
To be fair, it's the sugar-free whipped cream, so it's 0 points.
Oh, so. Okay. Good job. How many points are in the apple pie?
Again, I understand that there's cinnamon and sugar involved and some. And it's apple crumb, by the way. I go crumb over standard pie. It's
healthier.
Apples. It's still apples, and it's farm fresh, too. It's not been processed. I got it from a farm doing the pumpkin picking this weekend.
Covered in cinnamon and sugar.
Yeah, another thing you know nothing about is, like, health and dietary trends. And
all right, go kick a hacky sack at a Dave Matthews concert again, then come see me. All right, before we before we get to whatever takes we're going through here, well, I don't even, we're going to talk about Big Ben? I don't know. What the heck we do? We got to get to Scotty in Melbourne, Florida. Scotty in Melbourne, it joins us at 855-212-4227 on the DA Show. Scotty, good morning. How are you?
I am wonderful, Mraz, and you enjoy that apple pie like you should be enjoying that apple pie.
Thank you.
And I think maybe when this segment's done, you go upstairs and you get a second slice of apple pie just to show them who the boss is.
You know what? And wow. I got the ice cream in the freezer too, Scotty. I didn't go that far for breakfast, but maybe I double dip. You're right.
I think
did the voice inside Sean's head somehow calling
the apple
show?
Pie and you're good.
Thank you. So here's
your cheesecake. Here's your cheesecake dilemma, right? The menu's too big, right? I got your answer right here. You predetermine before you go to the Cheesecake Factory what food category you're going to go look in. Is it going to be seafood tonight? Is it going to be pasta? Is it going to be Italian? Is going to be a little Cajun? You decide. That eliminates 3/4 of the menu. Now, all you got to look at is appetizers, main course, and cheesecake. Problem solved.
So, Scotty, first of all, there's two things I love about this call. Number one, that is not a Florida accent. So you are clearly, I think, from New York originally. Is that correct?
I grew up in Long Island. I do live in Florida. I've been here 30 years, and I go back to New York about once a year to learn how to speak English again.
What part of Long Island, Scotty?
I grew up in East Meadow.
Okay, on Peter Schwartz territory. That's a rough area to be from. All right, now the problem here with your theory is this. You're okay. Ready now. You need to focus on the appetizers as well, because you ever go to Cheesecake Factory? They have the appetizers and the small plates. Now, that throws me off, because they're all the same thing at that point. And there's a million of those as well. Do I want a Buffalo Blast? Do I want the factory nachos? I don't know.
It's a tough choice. I mean, you could actually go to Cheesecake Factory and never leave the appetizer menu and just do appetizers and then go right to cheesecake.
Yeah. You ever go to Cheesecake Factory, Scotty? And we'll phase bogish out of this for a second. And then you're with people, and then it comes time for dessert, and they don't want anything? I mean, you went to a factory that specializes in dessert.
Sean,
what do you mean you don't want anything?
Sean, you don't need friends like that. You do not need friends like that. I'm telling you right now. Eliminate them from your life and just move on. There's always room for dessert, because you have a separate dessert room in your stomach that's just for dessert.
Thank you. That's why I'm having two breakfasts. Scotty, thanks for the call. You are a man after
my
own heart. Now, my next question,
a restraining order for Scotty on you, because the two of you can never hang out, because Scotty is bad, bad news for you.
Which one of your friends is that?
He's not. I will tell you this. I get a sense Scotty might be witness protection, though, right? Don't you think there might be a little witness? Scotty may not be his real name. The accent down in Florida.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's living in
the. You can never actually meet Scotty.
Yeah. I got a feeling Scotty might have snitched on somebody. That would be my guess.
No, I don't think Scott's a snitch, and I think now he might want to kill you for suggesting that.
Yeah, well, either that or he just outed himself. That's the guy who loved the Cheesecake Factory at the Westbury Music Fest. I mean, come on.
I think someone snitched on Scotty.
Yeah, it's interesting scenario. All right, now there's two other sports takes I want to get. See, we jam packed the topics here. Have fun with your topics. Number one, Big Ben. Big Ben gets hurt on Sunday. He's getting pummeled. The offensive line for the Steelers is not protecting him. And now we find out he has some kind of strained pectoral, very painful injury. Left pec, by the way. I love how we could determine the left pec and the right pec as if your chest just isn't going to hurt in general from all of that. This is a guy who's torn elbow ligaments. He's had leg injuries. Big Ben, was it yesterday I made the joke about Big Ben being an operation doll, or was that Carson Wentz? One of them is an operation.
Carson Wentz.
Okay, so Big Ben might be that way too. The biggest cause for concern for the Pittsburgh Steelers this year was, well, first of all, they lost Bud Dupree. Second of all, was can Big Ben stay healthy? Last year, he averaged the lowest yards per attempt of any quarterback in the NFL. You want to talk about a passing league. Big Ben, after they lost that undefeated season, he fell off a cliff. The defense really were carrying them home. They have all these wide receivers, but everything is very short, taking slants, trying to take them to the house. And Big Ben just doesn't have the cannon like he used to. And now you added an extra game this regular season. So there was a lot of doubters and naysayers about the Pittsburgh Steelers entering the year, especially in a division that features the Baltimore Ravens, the Cleveland Browns, and you would think the up-and-coming Bengals, although you just lost to the Bears, so I guess we'd pump the brakes on that. Now, two games in, Big Ben is already hurt. He's already hurt. You mean to tell me he's going to start the next 15 games and suddenly this pec injury is just going to heal as he continues to play while being limited in practice? I have a hard time grasping that. And this is a situation where D.A. and I were anti each other on these takes. D.A. seemed to think the Steelers would be just fine, Ben Roethlisberger would be fine, and he couldn't wait after week one they beat the Buffalo Bills to make sure that was a segment, talking about how it was overblown the Steelers were. Well, here we are. They've lost to the Raiders at home, and Big Ben is already hurt. I think we could pump the brakes on the Steelers. We're going to be all right this year. I don't want to overreact. Now they're 1-1, but this was the concern, right? It's a passing league, offenses first. Ben Roethlisberger now is looking around. Rivers is retired. Eli's retired. That entire class retired. Roethlisberger clearly was the one that kept himself the worst shape of them all. And he's getting banged up. He's not on the Tom Brady avocado vodka diet. That's not what's happening here to keep his body going. I think this pectoral injury is a big deal, Bogus, whether he plays through it or not. And I think the Steelers are going to look clunky all season long. This is a team that probably is going to end up in no man's land, win enough games where they're not at the top of the class to draft a big quarterback, but not win enough that they're going to be any sort of factor really in the AFC playoffs.
That is exactly where they're going to live this year. They are going to be in the playoff conversation the entire year. You're never going to think they're one of the best teams in the AFC, but you're going to think that they're going to get in, possibly. Maybe one or two people will say, well, if they get in, then they've got a chance, whatever. But they're going to be in that weird purgatory of just good enough to make it or make you think they're going to make it, but not really be good enough to do anything if they're in it. And then, as you said, simultaneously them missing out on a high draft pick that might help them kind of reshuffle the deck here. And also, too, we can't just talk about this Ben injury by itself. I mentioned last hour, there's four key defensive players led by T.J. Watt who all have groin injuries, who are all in some level of doubt for their game, at least for this weekend, too. So, yeah, in a hurry, the Steelers have however excited you wanted to get about them beating Buffalo to start the season, that's almost completely gone now because of these injuries and the things we're seeing on the field, too, from them that really were not very confidence-inspiring over the weekend.
And if you're thinking, all right, well, can the Steelers navigate Big Ben being banged up for now? They might this week. They're playing the Bengals at home. I'm telling you right now that game's not going to be easy. Despite the Bengals losing to the Bears, I feel like the Bengals are going to be a pain-in-the-neck team that is in almost every game, loses a lot. That game's not going to be easy. After that, you're going to face the Green Bay Packers in Lambeau. Then you have the Broncos and that defense, which is playing really well, coming there. And then you're talking about Seattle, the Browns. I mean, that is not an easy stretch coming up for a quarterback that's banged up. And I don't know, without shutting him down for a month, which the Steelers can't afford to do, obviously, I don't know how we just think a pectoral injury is going to magically heal playing through it. That feels like wishful thinking. And I'm not a doctor. I'm not Dr. Chow here telling you to book it. I'm a fat man that eats apple pie for breakfast. I just don't know. I don't know how you expect that to heal.
Yeah, it is worth pointing out that you began all of this by saying, how do we know left from right pec, which seems to be a really easy thing to know.
Mean, so it's not like an arm. The pec is going to feel like the chest hurts. You know what I mean? I don't think left and right matters necessarily on a pec. Now, it matters from a throwing motion standpoint of not being right. I understand that logistics, but the pain I'm talking about, the pain.
Right. But like, you know, you do know that, and I'm pretty sure this is true, that there are two pectoral muscles. It's not just one big muscle. So you do hurt the left one or the right ones. And yes, the left or the right might make a difference in terms of playing through it.
They're not limbs, Bogus. You know what I mean? If my right abdomen gets hurt, my whole stomach's going to hurt, is my point.
Okay. So the bottom line is here. We've got no... What?
You're going to ignore a good point? Is that what we're doing here?
I don't think it's a good point. That's why I was going to ignore it. I think if you hurt your right side will hurt. And if you hurt your left pec will hurt. But it's a silly thing to argue over because you're not going to agree with me.
If I'm shirtless in the pool and a buddy comes over and just slaps one of my moobs, let's say they slap my left moob, my entire chest hurts, not just my left moob. The same goes for a pectoral injury.
So moving on again, I think the issue becomes...
Great comparison.
The fact that Mike Tomlin mentioned this yesterday makes me think that it's obviously something that's going to... That's something more real than normal. I don't think this would have come up if it had no impact or was a thing that they could play through easily. So it had me thinking right away that he was setting the table for Big Ben maybe not being able to go this weekend. If that's how he's opening up his, you know, kind of new week press conference with, hey, BTW, Ben's got this going on from the weekend. So I like, however we want to describe it, this is a real injury. And whether he plays or not, if he plays, it's definitely going to bother him. And you're right, it should be a winnable game on Sunday against the Bengals, but it's no guarantee, even in Pittsburgh, especially with all those defensive guys banged up, that they can do enough here to top Joe Burrow.
Certainly something worth looking into. Again, we still have to get this Conor McGregor thing. It is going to be our poll question of the day, which is simply, did Conor McGregor throw a bad first pitch on purpose? If you haven't seen it, check out the first pitch. I promise we're going to break this down. When we come back, maybe some of that. Bogus has a good update to get to. And Roddy Jones from the ACC Network. Problems at Clemson. What the heck's going on at Florida State? A little college football to sink our teeth into coming up next on the DA Show. It's Mraz, it's Bogus. We continue on next.
When I, you know what I'm saying? It's just, again, it's not, you know...
The DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Sunday, the NFL is on CBS, and there are plenty of marquee matchups on the slate, including early action between the Chargers and Chiefs, and an AFC Central battle featuring Burrow's Bengals and Big Ben Steelers. Later, the Jets travel a mile high to take on the Broncos, or the Dolphins clash with the Raiders. It all begins at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. With the NFL Today, Sunday, the NFL is on CBS. Chargers-Chiefs, potential to be a very, very fun game. And boy, don't look now, Broncos. You pencil them in for 3-0. I'm sure that'll be a popular Survivor pool pick. Andrew Bogish. Updates, come on down, big guy.
Thanks, Sean. Headlines are sponsored by NHTSA. Trains appear to be farther away and moving more slowly than they are. If the signals are on, the train is on its way. And remember one thing, stop. Trains can't. He only started 11 games over four college seasons. Now Davis Mills is starting an NFL game 3 weeks into his pro career. The rookie QB getting the nod tomorrow night against Carolina because Houston put Tyrod Taylor on IR yesterday with Sunday's hamstring injury. Head coach David Culley on handing the keys to Mills.
He's had all the reps this week. He's getting every rep, where previously he only gets a select few reps. And I think getting those reps... There's a comfort level that goes in getting those reps.
As we mentioned yesterday, Deshaun Watson remains inactive this week, even without Taylor. Broncos
that
defensive end.
That is a tough Thursday night sell. That is a tough one. Davis Mills facing the Carolina Panthers. And look, the Panthers have played well, and they're going to win this game. That is a tough one to say I'm going to stay up for on Thursday night.
Yeah, I mean, want to see the Panthers kind of on the stage by themselves, see how good they are earlier in the season, but... It could be over in a hurry against Davis Mills, and it'll probably be, because they never handle these things well, it'll probably be an odd Deshaun Watson conversation, too, during this game, awkward and whatever. So, yeah, there's very little to make you watch this game and stick with it long-term on Thursday.
No doubt.
Broncos defensive end Bradley Chubb's having surgery today for a bone spur in his left ankle. He's likely out 7 to 8 weeks. He did not play week one because of the issue, then left Sunday's win in Jacksonville at halftime. The Eagles have placed defensive end Brandon Graham on IR with his season-ending torn Achilles. Guard Brandon Brooks on the list, too, because of a pec injury, left or right unknown, but he should play again this season. And the Superdome roof briefly caught fire yesterday. One person treated for minor burns, a power washer being used to clean the roof, apparently started the fire, leading to the bigger problem. CBSSports.com says the disconnect between college football brokers about playoff expansion is so wide right now, the CFP Board of Managers might not meet next week as scheduled. The meeting was once seen as a rubber stamp for the expansion plan. The Cardinals and Braves keep winning, so the Phillies have to keep winning.
Valdez kicks the pitch, swung on, punched down the right field line. It's got a chance. Santander on the run. He leaps out. He can't get it. It's a base hit. One run is home. Harper's coming around third. They're waving him to the plate. The throw is late. They've won it.
They win it 3-2 and 10 over the Orioles thanks to a two-run triple from JT Realmuto. The call from Scott Fransky on Phil's radio. The Phillies stay three games behind the Braves in the NL East. Atlanta a 6-1 win in Arizona. And they stay 4.5 behind the Cards for the second NL wild card because St. Louis won its 10th in a row, 2-1 in Milwaukee. The Giants keeping their one-game lead on the Dodgers out west with a 6-5 victory in San Diego. LA fought off Colorado 5-4-10. No change in the AL wildcard chase yesterday. The Red Sox beat the Mets 6-3 to stay a game and a half up on the Blue Jays, who won in Tampa 4-2. The Yanks stay a half game behind Toronto with a 7-1 home win over the Rangers. The Mariners with a 5-2 win in Oakland. So Seattle and those A's are now even three games behind the Blue Jays for that last playoff spot. Johnny?
All right, Bogish. Before we get to Roddy Jones... I can't believe we're doing another bad first pitch thing because that seems to be annual. It feels like we almost escaped that this year, right? We haven't had a big conversation about a bad first pitch this year, or am I forgetting one?
I don't remember one.
Yeah, I don't either. But there always seems to be one actor, entertainer, musician who goes out there and embarrasses themselves. I think to this point, you still rank 50 Cent as the one that you point to and you laugh at the most, Bogus. Is that fair to say?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, so Conor McGregor, for what reason, I'm still unsure, throws out the first pitch at Wrigley Field. And this was last night, I believe. Goes up, throws the first pitch, and he has a 50 Cent moment. I mean, the ball sails completely to the right, overhead. I mean, what is going on? Now, here's my problem with it. People went nuts about, oh, and making the stupid jokes in the Conor McGregor voice. Look what a clown he is, can't throw out a first pitch. Conor McGregor is so calculated. Everything he does for promotion is calculated. He's a funny guy, seemingly. Maybe you don't like him. Maybe he's a bit of a jerk in real life. I don't know. I've never met the man. He could be. Conor McGregor did that on purpose. To me, I'm calling it like I see it. I understand that he didn't grow up with baseball in... He grew up in Ireland, is that right? Right?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, okay. The Irish flag's everywhere. So I'm not going to say he grew up having a catch with his dad and all of that. But from a sheer athletic standpoint, he's not 50 Cent. He does compete on an athletic level. And I understand it doesn't involve throwing anything because other than punches and kicks. There is no way that Conor McGregor, as athletically built as he is, can throw a baseball that horribly. There's no way. I refuse to believe it. And I think Conor McGregor now knows we're all going to talk about him. We weren't talking about him for a little bit. I'm calling BS. I think that that first pitch was absolutely on purpose to be erratic, to get a good laugh and rise out of people, Bogish.
It's either on purpose or he's Henry Rowengartner and his arm just came out of a cast that fused the tendons too strong and he didn't know what he was doing and the arm just whipped the ball past home plate to the backstop. But I disagree, though, with you on... He would have to be able to throw the ball well because he's in shape and physically fit. Those two things do not go hand in hand. For some reason, it seems foreign to us. There are people who seem athletic, who are athletic, who cannot throw a baseball or a football. They just can't throw. So there's no connection between those two things. It's possible he has no idea what he's doing, but that throw specifically was a throw on purpose. I mean, he throws a fastball over Pat right. Wisdom's head in the backstop. He did that on purpose, no doubt.
Yeah. So, and here's the other problem I have with it. If you get asked to throw out a first pitch, and I don't care who you are, you could be Kim Kardashian, you could be Andrew Bogish. You don't find out when you show up to the ballpark and you're in the middle of your second hot dog, hey, by the way, they're going to want you down there to throw out the first pitch. You get some notice when you're coming in, meaning you have had all the time in the world to prepare. If Conor McGregor had never thrown a baseball in his life before, and he was asked to throw out a first pitch, he absolutely is grabbing a baseball and going out in whatever yard he has and practicing throwing a first pitch. And he would never be that ill-prepared as an athlete with some sort of practice to do that. He definitely turned around and he whipped it that way on purpose. Wherever the ball went. And now he has everybody talking about him. So I can't stand for the conversation this morning that a lot of shows will have, a lot of people will talk about on Twitter, that can you believe that Conor McGregor threw a ball that bad? Yes, I can believe it. Because there's no doubt he did it on purpose. Now, the one I had an issue with, if you remember on the show, Saquon Barkley gets drafted by the Giants, shows up at Yankee Stadium, and he basically bounces a ball to the left. And I said, you can't draft a guy second overall if he can't make it to home plate with a baseball. I don't care that he's a football player. And you know what? To this point, I've been proven correct. That was a major warning sign for Saquon Barkley, the fact that he couldn't throw out that first pitch properly, and he hasn't been that great in the NFL. Conor McGregor's been a great UFC fighter. He's a great athlete. He knows how to throw a baseball. That's insulting to my intelligence as a baseball fan for anybody to assume that he didn't do that on purpose. I'm sorry. I won't stand for it. I will not stand for it. And it is our poll question today. Do you believe Conor McGregor threw out a bad first pitch on purpose?
Well, thank you for being on this wall for us. I'm glad that you won't stand for it. And you'll fight this until there's no fighting left to be done, because we need people like you protecting us and defending our morals and our beliefs and our customs here. And he made a mockery of this first pitch yesterday on purpose. So I'm glad that you're here to push back against Conor. It's about time someone actually... All Conors seem to do whatever they want these days. I don't know if you've noticed this, but
Conor Green,
they're all super talented. Exactly. I mean, we know two of them. They're all super talented. They're at the top of their professions. But some humility every once in a while will be healthy here. So I'm glad that you are at least prepared to deliver this to Conor McGregor.
I am. By the way, our friend John Kincaid tweets in that Mel Kiper enjoys pumpkin pie every morning for breakfast. I believe Mel passes on the whipped cream. So I had the apple crumb pie with the sugar-free whipped cream that now Kaplan, of course, has put out there. And look, I'm not going to shy away from it. It's a serving of fruit. It's whipped cream. It's fall season here now in the Northeast. I'm going to have my apple pie for breakfast, and I'm not going to be shamed. And if Mel Kiper can have pumpkin pie, I can have apple pie for breakfast. What? So what? I didn't have a bacon covered in grease that makes me a bad guy. I got the nice fluffy fruit with the apples. All right. Joining us now, friend of the show, Roddy Jones from the ACC Network. And obviously the ACC is on our mind. What the heck is wrong with Clemson? Where does Florida State go from here? Roddy Jones played in the ACC. He's got a feel for it. Roddy, welcome to the DA show. How are you doing?
I am doing fantastic, and I am very much enjoying your breakfast takes, because I am now on to the point where, like, I just don't care. If it's food, it's getting eaten for breakfast. Yesterday it was steak and rice for breakfast. I'm not trying to gain anything. I'm not, you know, bulking on protein. It was what was available in the fridge, so I ate it for breakfast. So there you go.
Roddy, I love that take. So before we get to the football, because we are a football and food show first and foremost, DA's out, but doesn't matter. Me and Bogus carry the load with the food as well. I love that take. If leftovers are sitting there, who tells you at what time you're allowed to eat them? If that's breakfast, that's breakfast. So I have this big pie. It's only me and my wife right now. My daughter's not going to have any of it. I see it there. It's apples. How do I not have it for breakfast? You got an issue with desserts for breakfast?
Absolutely not. No. If it's edible, it can be eaten for breakfast. What's a cinnamon roll? A cinnamon roll is an acceptable breakfast food that is dessert. A donut, same thing. So pie, absolutely fine. Just because it comes in a different shape doesn't mean it should be excluded from the hours of, like, 6 or whenever you wake up until 10:30. Like, whoever's making these rules needs to get out of here. It's edible. Now, it can be eaten for breakfast.
Now, Roddy, I'll also say this. You clearly, I think, had a better athletic career than I did. You clearly know a little bit more about fitness than I did. I mean, I still play flag football center. You were good enough to play Division I college football from an athletic standpoint.
They're so similar.
I have made this argument before about eating a dessert for breakfast. Now, a nutritionist will tell you don't eat late, you know, less time for your body to burn it off. Isn't breakfast the best time to eat dessert because you have all day to burn off those calories?
You know, I had not thought about that, but you're onto something here. We need, like, a dissertation on this, because I completely agree. Breakfast is the perfect time to eat dessert. You got the rest of the day to get rid of it. Absolutely. I'm with you.
Roddy Jones joins us now from the ACC Network. Bogus, you have a football question for Roddy?
No, I'm just going to sit this out, because Roddy, you're the second person to call in to just fuel Sean's lunacy and just letting him feel more and more confident in his ridiculous ideas and beliefs. So I got nothing else to say today. I'm just going to sit back. You guys do whatever you want, and I'll come back when you're done.
All right, Roddy, obviously Clemson now after losing to Georgia, they get their cupcake week two win. Last week, you rub your hands together, you think, all right, back on track, we're going to play Georgia Tech. And they absolutely cannot move the ball. They sweat it out. But probably more alarming than the actual outcome of a 14-8 win is Dabo Swinney admitting that Clemson was not prepared for what Georgia Tech was throwing out there defensively. And now Clemson's only scored 2 touchdowns over 8 quarters versus Power 5 teams. How does Dabo, as good a head coach as he's become, you knew this would be a different year without Trevor Lawrence. How can he admit that they were not prepared versus Georgia Tech?
I actually don't read too much into that. And here's why. I'm very close to that Georgia Tech program. I go down there, you know, fairly often, especially in the spring and in camp. And I knew that they were putting in a new defense. I knew that this was going to be a year that they were going to catch some people off guard at the beginning of the season. And they didn't do it exclusively against Northern Illinois. They didn't do it much at all against Kennesaw State because they didn't have to. And then against Clemson, they break out this 3-3-5 with 3 safeties on the field. You know, think of what Iowa State's done for a long time. Syracuse is doing now. NC State's doing now. And that's a completely different look because you can basically get to a million different defenses very easily for you that changes the look for the opposing team. So I would imagine that Clemson would have gone in and had that as a package as they practice over the course of the week. Let's not forget, like, you have a limited practice time. You basically get Tuesday, Wednesday, and then you're shaping up things on Thursday. And I remember those weeks where it'd be an early season game and the team would come out in a look that you hadn't seen all year, like in the first 2 games from them, and you're adjusting on the fly. So I can empathize with what Clemson has gone through then because Georgia Tech did play something completely different than what they typically do on a down and down out basis, and they played it the whole game. That being the case, you still, like, you're Clemson. You should be able to line up and just move people, especially the way Georgia Tech was playing. They were playing a ton of light boxes, which is basically 5 guys in the box, 3 down linemen, 2 linebackers daring you to run the football because they don't want to get beat deep through the passing game. And Clemson wasn't able to run the ball consistently. I mean, they did it some. They did it in spots here and there. But either there was a lack of willingness or an inability to run the football consistently. So Clemson's got some issues on offense. DJ missed some throws. And look, he's a young quarterback, and that's the first time he's seen a defense like that in person. And Georgia Tech can create – I mean, they're not a great defense, but they've got some speed on the field, especially in that lineup. So it can create some issues with reads and stuff. But that doesn't skate over the fact that Clemson has issues on offense. And in my estimation, they're not issues that are fixed overnight because there's multiple of them. I think they've got some guys out of position as well. And I think they're really just trying to figure out how the pieces fit together.
So when they do, assuming they do figure this stuff out, though, Roddy, how good actually can this football team be now you've seen them on the field 3 times?
Well, that's a great and I think a big assumption that they can figure it out. I mean, I think they can figure it out to some extent, but to think that we're going to look up at the end of the year and have this offense look like the one that they had last year, I don't know that we're going to get there, man. I just really don't, because I think up front they for the second year in a row are having issues. Moving people. You saw it against Georgia. They had a ton of penetration allowed against Georgia. They struggled with Georgia's pass rush. And they're not going to face another crew like Georgia. But Georgia Tech gave them issues up front, too. And they're playing some young guys. So I do think that's a big assumption. And I'm not sure that they figure it out to the level that they would be satisfied with. That being said, if this offense can average 28 points a game, I mean, that's probably enough to win every game with the way the defense is playing. That defense still has not allowed an offensive touchdown. There's been 3 field goals that they've allowed. And then when you look at the rest of the points that team's allowed, it's a pick 6 and a safety. So it's been really incredible what that defense has done. And if that offense can put the ball in the end zone 3 or 4 times a game, it's probably good enough to win them every game.
Roddy Jones, 4-year starter at Georgia Tech, obviously, and an analyst on the ACC Network. Roddy, So with all of that being said, now you mentioned how great the defense has been, and that needs to be factored in. You don't think this is an offense that can be fixed overnight. It is very early to tell, but your early read as we sit on September 22nd, 2021, will the ACC, because of Clemson's offensive woes, be frozen out of the college football playoff when the time comes?
There's a lot. I'll preface this by saying there's a lot of football to go, and it's crazy stuff happens every single year. So I will preface everything I say by saying that. But I think this is the year that the ACC looks most likely to get frozen out, because even if Clemson wins out from here on, you look at their schedule, and I was kind of a proponent after the Georgia game of saying, hey, look, you know, Clemson's going to be fine, because I think, you know, NC State will be a top 25 team when they play. Well, those two teams play this week, and a couple weeks ago, NC State lost to Mississippi State, so that's not happening. NC State was literally the first team out of the top 25 when they lost to Mississippi State, so Clemson would have had a top 25 win on their resume. I looked at Pitt and said, Pitt, that's a team that's capable of being a top 25 team when they play a little bit later in the year. Well, Pitt just lost to Western Michigan. That doesn't look like it's very likely to happen. So now you're looking at the schedule and you're like, okay, who else can be top 25 by the time you get there? Who else can you notch that win against? And the answer, I may be overstating it slightly, but I don't think so. Like, the answer is Wake Forest is the only team left that is likely to be top 25 when those two teams play, and Wake's got a tough stretch before Clemson. So I think that with that loss to Georgia, you're going to look back on a win, a 14-8 win against a Georgia Tech team that's probably going to finish with three or four wins. And at the end of the season, if you're comparing that resume to another Power 5 conference champion that's got one loss, I'm just not sure the offensive woes at the beginning of the season, unless they completely make a 180, I'm not sure the committee's going to look at it and say that's one of the four best teams.
Roddy, how much patience is left in Tallahassee for Mike Norvell?
I would say the patience is running thin, but people need to kind of check their patience. They need to do a couple of woosahs, do some yoga, and find that inner serenity, because they can't fire Mike Norvell. Like, they're still paying Willie Taggart $18 million buyout. Mike Norvell, and I don't know what his buyout is at this point, but I'm sure it's, you know, double digits of millions. So you can't afford to be paying, you know, $40 million of buyouts to former coaches. And I think there was an understanding that, hey, look, Mike Norvell was going to have a slight dip before things started to rise. And you saw a lot of positivity in that Notre Dame game that was somewhat erased by the maybe not somewhat, completely erased by the Jacksonville State game, which I saw live and in person, man. I was doing that game, and it was unreal just how Jacksonville State hung around, and then obviously the last play. I think the thing that's hurting Mike Norvell more in the eyes of fans is sort of the answers in the press conference, you know, standing by the fact that was the right defensive call with 6 seconds. It's like, no, you got the ball thrown over your head for a touchdown that won the game for an FCS school. You can't walk in and say, yep, I would do that again. Like, you just say you were wrong and move on. So I think the patience is it's wearing thin. But Mike Norvell is going to be the coach there in 2022, and he's probably going to be the coach there in 2023. This is a tough place to be this early in the season with what's going on, but I'm a believer in what Mike Norvell is doing. I think that he is going in the right direction. And again, it's a hard thing to say based on the results that we've seen. But I do think Mike Norvell is a good football coach, and that they've done a lot of good things there at Florida State. They still have a long way to go, though.
Roddy Jones, analyst on the ACC Network, ESPN as well. You can follow him on Twitter, at RoddyJones20. Roddy, where are you going to be this weekend? Where can we find you?
Tomorrow night, we've got Marshall and App State. That's going to be a really fun one, FCS game. Marshall's got one of the best offenses in the country, and then App State's very good as well. And then Saturday on the ACC Network, that one's on ESPN. Saturday on the ACC Network, got the noon game, Richmond at Virginia Tech.
All right, a little VOD Tech. So check out Roddy throughout the weekend. Got you covered, ESPN, ACC Network, and follow him on Twitter, at RoddyJones20. Roddy, go enjoy some steak frites or something for breakfast, and thanks for waking up with us this morning.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure. Have a good one, guys.
Take care. The great Roddy.
Thanks, Roddy.
Hey, Roddy, in my corner,
yeah,
in the fridge.
It's debatable right now.
And by the way, he had great takes on Clemson, good take on Mike Norvell ain't going anywhere. But his best take is obviously eat what you want for breakfast. Let's go. And agreed with me from an athletic perspective of burning the dessert calories early.
Nobody was criticizing you for having apple pie for breakfast. You got defensive immediately because that's just the way your mind and heart works right now. But, I mean...
Well, you made fun of me.
The fact that you're counting it as a fruit serving and puffing out your chest because you had the sugar-free whipped cream, I think, is where the issue would begin. And just because Roddy agrees doesn't mean it's okay. You shouldn't have a milkshake for breakfast because you shouldn't have a milkshake. So if you have it in the morning to give yourself more time to burn it off, you're still burning off a milkshake. You don't need to burn off.
I get that you don't need to burn it off, but if you had to have a milkshake, having it at 8 a.m. is better than 8 p.m. And let's not forget, it does bring all the boys to the yard.
There is always that, too. True.
There is always that. Did I just hear Bilotti grumble? Was that a Bilotti grumble?
That was America as a whole.
Did Bilotti just grumble at me?
Bobby Collins?
What does that mean?
Stand-up comedian?
Oh, so now that wasn't funny?
Well, you're not a stand-up comedian. You're a host.
Is Bobby Collins a stand-up comedian?
Yes, he is.
What a reference, by the way. I would have ripped off about 63 stand-up comedians before I nailed Bobby Collins. I'd love to see what Bilotti's Netflix queue looks like.
Oh, it's very odd. It's very odd. We have the house shows, we have Bob Ross, and then we have, I think, Ozark.
Nothing says the Bilotti house like, hey, you wanna go to the next episode of Ozark or Bob Ross? If we're looking for a laugh, it'll be Bobby Collins. My goodness.
Hey,
Bobby Collins
is funny. Yeah, you gotta watch Bobby Collins.
I'm sure he is. Well, 855-212-4227 at Mraz CBS at Andrew Bogus. When we come back, we pay tribute. The co-founder of the Black Hole has passed away, and the origins of the Black Hole, I got to be honest, maybe I'm an idiot. I didn't know, and I think it's just fantastic to reminisce and look back. The DA Show continues on next.
First off, I want to say I'm really loving you on Instagram. Loving your posts.
We've had some Twitter affairs here and there.
And videotaping on YouTube and Facebook.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, it is the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio. DA out today, resting that voice up. Hopefully we get him tomorrow and Friday, because who knows what's going to happen. I mean, Bogus could go to another concert tonight. I could get called that I'm having a baby at any point. Well, not me specifically, but you know what I mean. So, we're patchworking this thing together, baby. We're patchworking this thing together. Sad news in Raiderland, though. Rob Rivera, if you don't know who that is, Rob Rivera was the co-founder of the then Oakland Raiders Black Hole fan section. He died of COVID-19 complications as the pandemic continues, unfortunately, to take lives from us. Rob Rivera founded the Black Hole in 1995. 18 other members he got together in 1996. Okay, now Rob Rivera just passed away. He's only in his 50s. So me, I got to be honest, I was born in 87. As far as I was concerned, the Black Hole basically always existed. I knew it started at some point in the 90s, but that's right in my wheelhouse of beginning to enjoy the NFL. It was 1994, 1995, 1996. So the Black Hole's always been a part of my life. So I never really knew the origins of the Black Hole. To me, it was just another crazy fan section. I did not know this, Bogus, that Rivera watched the Cleveland Browns games on TV, loved the dog pound, wanted a version of that for the Raiders, and said, quote, "We want the dog pound, but on rabies." And that's how the birth of the Black Hole started. How cool is that? Now, you're thinking, the Cleveland Browns, they're going to leave a legacy with somebody. I didn't know that the Raiders Black Hole was a legitimate knockoff, spinoff version of the dog pound. And if you ask me, I still think the Black Hole all time better environment than the dog pound on TV.
Well, I just also thought that the Black Hole was older than this, didn't you?
Me too.
And no matter where it came from, wouldn't you have thought it went back into the 70s at the very least? But no, it was just born in the mid 80s. It's not even that old.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess I just assumed it was born in the 90s because that's when I started watching football. That was just, okay, here's the Raiders, here's the Black Hole. But yeah, I guess now that you say that, right, the Raiders didn't just come into focus in the 90s. You'd think that, yeah, in the 70s, maybe there were crazy people in the end zone. the idea that, you know, the dog pound from the 80s into the early 90s, and that is where the Raiders and the idea of the black hole came from. Because people talk about the black hole like it's been around forever. That's not forever. I mean, we still reference the baseball strike in 94. You're telling me the black hole came into existence after that.
I mean, you're telling me that I'm older than the black hole, which I did not think would have been the case. And I love the fact that from the get-go, their mission statement was with rabies. Like, yes. It was never supposed to be calm, and it kind of got out of hand. It was supposed to be out of hand from the get-go, and it was definitely out of hand.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely cool. It's a cool environment. The only thing I will say is that's got to be very difficult to organize, right? Because, look, we've all been to enough football games. You throw the jersey on, you tailgate, you have a good time. How do you call a buddy who then has to call a couple other friends and say, hey, here's what we're going to do. We're going to get our season tickets in the end zone, and we're going to just put on shoulder pads with spikes and paint our faces, and we're going to go crazy and be this crazy fan environment. I don't know. I feel like I would get that phone call and be like, nah, I'm going to stick with the Biletnikoff jersey here. Like, I'm good on that. To get enough people organized to buy into and make it a thing, and make it scary for people to come in. That is truly remarkable, folks.
It really is. What an accomplishment and what a legacy to leave, unfortunately, so young. But, I mean, the black hole's never going away, and it's always going to have started with Rob.
It is. All right, when we come back, Thursday Night Football is tomorrow, but is David Culley already in over his head as the Texans head coach? We break it all down next. It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.